Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/gamefully unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Wow, everybody. I can't believe
it's just a wow kind of day.
It is, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why are we wowing?
Listen. I don't know.
You came in hard with that. Wow, it was unexpected. I think the only thing more shocking is if you had said yabba dabba do.
When you make these many podcasts, it's like, how do you start?
Yeah, I don't know. We just start talking. We'll come in
exactly.
Here somewhere.
Yeah,
somewhere around my mouth the episode will start.
Yeah, my mouth starts moving, and then my brain catches up.
It's like when you're trying to. It's like the first pull when you try to start a lawnmower.
Yeah, exactly.
The first, five words out of your face when you're starting a podcast are never going to be good.
It's garbage. It's garbage.
It's trash.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, everyone. We should cut the first five words off of every podcast.
My name is David Bell.
And my name is Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Abigail.
Abigail.
A movie about the horrors of rich kids.
Yeah, man. It's real, real hard being a wealthy vampire.
Oh, no.
We kidnapped a fucking vampire. A ballerina vampire.
You know what? You know what would legitimately be really hard? Being a poor vampire.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being a broke-ass vampire for like 600 years.
I feel like someone's talking about this. Like, being a poor vampire is so funny because it's like, what did you do wrong?
Well, yeah.
Like, you're a vampire.
I don't understand. Can't you take this money?
Yeah. Just
don't your powers of darkness allow you to do this?
Yeah, like a moral vampire, I guess. Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to rob people.
I will say
I'll drink their blood.
I like that we're very concerned with, like, vampire crime recently. Like with the Day Shift.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's not just about, like, the secret underground agency that deals with vampires. It's also about, like, how vampires are, like, real estate kingpins.
Yeah. You know what I would like?
And this movie is kind of about that, too.
It is. Before we get into this movie, I do think we're due for serious vampire stuff again. Because vampires have been kind of fun. Like, An Interview with the Vampire.
Well, what's his nuts? The Lighthouse. Eggers. He's making Nosferatu.
Nosferatu, yes! Okay,
I'm sure it will be kind of funny.
Yeah,
because I've seen an image of what Willem Dafoe looks like.
Yeah, he's going to be doing a whole thing. Yeah, I want like Interview with a Vampire where it's like really intense vampire lore.
Yeah.
Take it really seriously. This is not that movie. This is a movie by, they call themselves Radio Silence?
Radio Silence, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. They directed Ready or Not. They did a few screams until they didn't.
Yeah, until the lead actress...
Until they
fired,
yeah, and they're like, "Fuck this!"
And everybody quit the movie.
Yeah, and one of those actresses is in fact in this.
Yeah, she's the lead in this one.
Yeah, this is her name is Melissa Barrera, Daniel Stevens,
Dan Stevens,
Angus Cloud. His last film, Kevin Durant. It's you've seen the trailers, right?
Yeah, you guys saw trailers, the things.
I have gone on the record saying that I felt the trailers were kind of leaning into it too much in a way that it almost turned me off, where they were like, how wacky is our idea? Like, it felt like that. But now we've seen it. So I guess the question is, how did you like this movie?
I thought it was okay.
Okay. I think I liked it more than you. I quite enjoyed it. I guess because I wasn't expecting much from it. But go on.
I think its two biggest problems with me are, I think it's too long.
That's a good point.
There are parts that it's 2 hours long, like, which
genuinely surprised me when I was buying the ticket and saw the runtime. I was like, really?
Right.
And it drags in a couple of spots. There's a lot of buildup. There's a lot of attempts at building tension that I don't think are really that effective, but they're still interesting scenes because it's kind of like teasing what the backstory of this vampire child might be, because they're not teasing the vampire child. We all already know that.
Yeah.
But I want to come back to that point in a second. But like there's like the biggest offending example I can think of is there's like three different times where I think it might even be four, where the characters split up to find the vampire. They find the vampire, they run back to meet up, and then they split up again to go find the vampire. And they know shit do this about four times.
There's the last one is really sweaty. The one where they're like, if I can reset the power, we can get out. And it's like, she just sort of says that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I could do this. Let's split up. And I'm like, oh, okay. They were like that one was, yeah.
It was, there was just a lot of parts that I really could feel like it being inefficient. And like, I felt my attention like wandering. I also think it kind of struggles with its tone in a way that Ready or Not didn't.
Okay.
Like, I think it can't decide, like, it can't decide how we're supposed to feel about Abigail.
Yeah.
Like at the end where it looks like she's going to die and it's being all dramatic and she calls back the pinky promise. It's like, I don't give a fuck. She's a 300-year-old vampire who's evil as shit.
And she's like, a liar.
And she's a liar. All she has done is lie to them and kill them. And I think it really struggled with its tone. And I almost groaned when their backstories are finally revealed. And it's like, everyone's a piece of shit except for Melissa Barrera. And right. it was a little sweaty, where it was like,
right,
okay,
because
guys.
Know, like, okay, she's going to live.
Right. It's like, okay, we can't have, like, you should have made them all scummy, like, or just never reveal their backstories. I don't know. So there was just like, it really felt like it couldn't figure out its tone and it felt too long to me. But there were parts in it that I did enjoy. The Dan Stevens stuff, especially. Yeah.
I think that's all. I think what you said is all valid. I think I guess I was in it just to kind of relax and enjoy. I saw it first thing in the morning. I hadn't had coffee in me. I was very chill at the time too. So like it gave me everything I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is like, it gave me, and this is probably why it also struggled, because it's doing a lot of things. What I mean by that is like, so we open with this, the kidnapping, and I thought they did a very good job at establishing like everybody's character just from that.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean. There's a part where she's like Sherlock Holmes's them and just like says like, oh, you're this, you're that. I know who you are. You're this. And I thought that was a fun way to get out backstory. But ultimately, like,
they do
I don't
it again,
know how much
they do
that...
it again with the vampire. So it's like, okay, yeah, I don't need to see this scene again. Sorry.
Yeah, you're right. She says all their names and what they're doing.
And their background,
you're right.
Why she's mad at them.
Yeah, they could have just done it there, I guess.
Yeah, that we didn't need the earlier scene.
They could have alluded to little things. Like, I think it's easy enough to say, like, Dan Stevens, you were clearly a cop. And you were clearly in the army. Like, you could get little bits like that.
Yeah, there was like she could have still, like, with the Don Rickles, they all have nicknames based on the Rat Pack, which was fun.
Right.
I liked that idea.
Yeah, it was fun.
She just comes up to him and just says, like, Semper Fi, right? You know, like they could, you know, like with Dan Stevens, you could have just been like, yeah, okay, officer.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean?
And I think that's all you need, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So
really,
yeah, you're right. There was some redundancies there, but it gave me, so like my worry of going into this film was it was just going to be, what do we do about this ballerina? And the movie rightfully knew we have to go beyond that. Mm-hmm. Like, you watch the trailer and you know, like, what's his name? They're set up. Like, you know from the start that fucking Gus set them up.
Giancarlo Esposito, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't trust that motherfucker now. Every time he shows up in a movie, you're like, he's the bad guy.
But you know from the trailer where it's like, they've been used as bait to feed this vampire who's playing a game. Like, you almost immediately get that. What I liked is, I really liked how they did the vampire at first. And part of me says, like, oh, I bet they could have made the whole movie this. I don't know if they needed to humanize Abigail. I like that she's kind of an animal in the sense that she's not immediately trying to kill them all. She is just playing with them. And I liked that she was, like, dancing with the corpse. I liked that she was, like, she'd, like, stab one of them, and then they'd all run out, and she'd let them. Like, because I got that vibe immediately that it's, like, oh, she's fucking with them a lot. So it gave them a lot of leeway to, like, make scenes where they all get attacked and they leave with their lives. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It didn't feel unrealistic. She's not a bear. You know what I mean? Like, she has a personality, but she's also kind of an animal. So it's like this nice little in-between where she's like kind of erratic. I liked that she was like erratic. And I wish they'd leaned into that even more.
Yeah, I did. That kept the tension going. I will say the amount of time they spent on the characters, like, does kind of endear them to you. Like, especially Kevin Durant is funny as shit.
I think
actually they're all pretty funny.
I liked it being kind of front heavy. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, me either.
I thought
I think part of it also was I went in expecting a slasher, and it's not paced like one.
No, it's
and
like
it
the
really
halfway
kinda,
point.
It really kind of isn't a slasher. I mean, it basically is, but...
I think about the halfway point is when she becomes like, when they're like, it's a vampire, right?
Yeah, they wait a long time to drop that.
And for me, a lot of what carried it before that was the performances. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Dan Stevens, where you're like... Dan Stevens, like, it's weird because they don't... Most of the characters don't die. Until the very end, too.
Yeah.
That was surprising to me. Like
said, they really,
it's not a slasher.
They really hang on to the cast. Yeah, it's not a slasher. Not
it's
really.
More like, I don't know, I was going to say Alien, but I think in Alien they start dying pretty fast.
Once,
probably by the halfway point. I don't know.
No, it really is
it's
kind of
late.
It really is kind of all at the end. Like, it's
more like one of those where it's like a lot of... Yeah. Because I remember when there was still four, and I was like, man, we're in the third act. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to pick these people off very fast, which I appreciate. And because at that point, like you said, Kevin Durant, you're like, I'm enjoying this character. Dan Stevens, there was a point where I was like, oh, man, I hope they don't kill him because I'm having a lot of fun with
him. Yeah, he's great.
And the movie's like, oh, we know. We have plans.
We got plans for Dan Stevens. There's a reason Dan Stevens looked at this movie and was like, yeah, I'll do this.
Yeah. It's a part he was born to play.
It really is.
Yeah. Spoilers, by the way. I mean, it's weird to say that this needs spoilers, but I saw people referring to it having a twist. And to me, I'm like, you don't know what twists mean.
No, it's
you're
not.
You're just used to.
Right.
It's like being so used to boring stories that you're like, wow, what a twist.
Right. Anytime anytime something happens that you didn't expect, it's like, oh, it's a twist. It's not really. It's just.
No.
I did want to hit that point, too, because I do like these filmmakers, even though I didn't really care for their Scream movies. And I thought this film was just okay. Real quick, they're really good at escalation. Well, not really good,
yes.
But they're pretty good at escalation.
I think so. That was the big thing
and
I noticed with them.
In a direction that you're not necessarily anticipating, because there were so many points of the movie where I had the thought in my brain, I was like, okay, this could go like three or four different ways that I can think of. And it went a way that I didn't expect.
There's a point where I'm like, there was a point where I was like, God, I hope the whole movie isn't just the ballerina. And it isn't like it did need it.
She's
it
not
needed
in it
to,
that much.
Yeah,
honestly,
it knew it needed to escalate, like you're saying, and change it up. I remember when we covered Scream, I was saying like, I really hope they go back to non-Scream things. And I mean, I'm sorry for the way it happened, but I'm glad they are doing.
This one must have already been made and was rated, because the Scream stuff fell apart like 7 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was made right before the strike. They like wrapped shooting right before the strike.
Weird.
I think that's part of why, is because when you look at Scream, Scream doesn't want... Scream no longer, whoever is running the show there, they don't want to surprise people in these fundamental ways, right? Where like the story changes in an extreme
well,
way.
Like we talked about in the last one, it's like, gee, I wonder who the killer is. Is it all the returning characters or the people we've never met before?
Exactly.
Like it's the...
it's just, or,
you
yeah.
Have,
and
you have ruined Scream at that point.
Right, because
like,
they
there's
have
no
10
mystery
returning
now.
Characters
No mystery
now. it's like Scooby-Doo episodes now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where they're like, here's the 10 characters you know, and here's two new people. Anyway,
yeah.
I wonder who the killer is. And it's like, man, it's such a bummer. But yeah,
anyway. Yeah.
But that's not their fault. That's what I mean, is like, this is, I think, when they can shine more, where like Ready or Not ends with, you know, I won't spoil it, but it goes off the rails.
It does go off the rails.
They love it when things go off the rails in a way where you're like, wow, this really got out of hand.
I was a little bummed that they repeated that gag.
Of everything going off the rails?
Yeah.
Well, I like that everything goes off the rails.
Well, no, not that. I mean the specific gag of in this movie when the vampires get staked, they explode.
Oh, yeah, they explode.
Or when they get
yeah.
hit with light, they explode.
I mean, I would say that that is a vampire lore.
It's been another vampire lore. It's just that was...
But it is like a repeat a bit.
It is a little bit of a repeat from part of what makes the end of Ready or Not so much fun. It's like, whoa! Right.
Yes. I could have just watched Alien, but with this ballerina. I think I could, because she was so weird, and like the fact that she was kind of chaotic made it really delightful that she's fucking with them.
They did a good thing with the tension there. That's right. I had started to say this and got sidetracked talking about the performances. Where she attacks a bunch, and sometimes it's clear that she's fucking with them. Like this is a really funny scene, when they march upstairs to attack her after they realize she's a vampire. And
yeah, and it just goes so wrong.
Melissa Barrera's like, no, I'm staying here. Guys can go. She is expecting that. And they go in there, and she just beats the shit out of them and basically sends them packing. She lets them leave. But then there are other scenes.
She's dancing with the corpse. Yeah.
There are other scenes where she is trying to kill them, and somebody is about to get bit, but will get saved. And then sometimes like a character will get bit on the arm. Like, so every time she goes in for the bite in the movie, you're genuinely not sure if it's going to land, which I thought was, and it's because they did that chaotic thing with her where in any given scene, she's just kind of like, whatever, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
And honestly,
I feel like in this moment,
I would have been fine if she was feral the whole time. Like she never talked or anything.
That is a version.
Last Voyage of the Demeter, where it's like, just fucking.
So really, this is
monster.
Dracula.
Yeah.
I do like scary ass Dracula. I do like this kind of vampire too, though.
Me too. That's what I'm saying is like, that's a direction it could have gone. I think I would have liked. But what they do is they learn that the only thing they can do is knock her out. I'm glad it's funny because this ultimately none of it matters, because they knock her out and trap her and she just keeps fucking with them. You think she's trapped, and then the reveal is like, no, I can.
She just rips the door. I was like, of course she does.
Yeah, exactly. That's when she like Hannibal Lecters them and she talks about their backstory, and like that's where it's a little redundant. And she starts trying to make deals with them.
I really like that stuff. I'm like,
too.
This is a cool vampire thing that doesn't get explored a lot, because it's usually either feral vampires like I Am Legend, or it's like sexy vampires.
Right.
It's rarely like the really evil messing with you in this way. Yeah, like Lestat was in Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, I like that too. I also like, so she bites one of them. She bites Ant-Man's daughter.
Catherine. Freaky.
Yeah. I really like this idea, is when you bite someone, apparently without turning them fully, they just become your puppet. And I know that's like the thrall and like there's
a thrall thing. Yeah. They slide in there. They infer that she can read their minds.
Yes, but they do it in a really cool way this time that I hadn't seen really, is that it's literally like her avatar. Mm-hmm. So it's like when she turns finally, Abigail is just like on her stage, I believe, doing like dancing, and so is the person that she's linked to after, spoilers, killing Kevin Durant.
Kills Kevin Durant.
They do a good job with that, where he's like really sweet to her before she becomes a vampire. And then she murders her. And like, I love she's dancing in these like beams of sunlight, so her body
it starts smoking. It was really subtle in the first shot when it started. So yeah, no,
she doesn't care about this body, so she doesn't care what happens to it. And I thought that was a cool idea. It's like, you know, somewhere inside of her, she's still alive, witnessing herself do this or something like that.
When she gets bit by Abigail, you're like, oh, okay, I can see this. Either she's going to turn, or they're going to blow Abigail up so she won't turn, or they're going to have to kill her before she turns. None of those things happen. What happens is she just puppets her like a marionette, and then she explodes.
Yeah, and that's fun. And then... the thing that the movie, I really wanted is, so they set up these character dynamics where Dan Stevens is obviously the asshole. They have the army guy, fucking Rickles. And what they, and I fell for it is you know, when you watch a movie like this, you start saying like, okay, who's the final person? Who's going to be the heroic death? Who's going to be the asshole who dies immediately, or the asshole who dies heroically, who has a turn, something like that. And Rickles, who is the army guy, he kind of immediately latches onto the main character and being like, you have a kid, yeah, we'll get you out of here. And like, I thought like, oh, okay, he's gonna die in the third act saving her, and then literally right after that conversation he's dead.
That was the
and I was like,
that was the only thing I saw coming. I was like, right, he's gonna die instantly.
Yeah. I mean, they don't even give you a chance. It was, I loved it.
He has it too together. Like, he's too much of a calming presence. So I was like, well, this dude's going to get taken out instantly.
Yeah, and he does.
And he sure does.
It's basically two people die near the beginning, and he's one of them.
Yeah, Angus Cloud is the other.
Yeah.
Sadly, because he was really funny.
He was really funny too, and I also didn't think
we still
he
get
was
going to
die
him
as
too,
quickly.
Yeah. That, well, we, yeah. Yeah, it's a, another... fun, even though I did say it's too long and I still feel that, I do like a lot of making what we got out of making it front heavy. And one of that is like, we do actually get a lot of time with him, more than I expected, because I could kind of guess from the trailer that he died early.
I liked that the way they're setting up the characters. If you watched a lot of slashers, you know, like, okay, the main character's going to make it. And then you're just sort of asking, like, who's going to be the hero? Who's going to have a turn? Mm-hmm. Angus Cloud, for me, was like, oh, maybe, because they're playing him like a scumbag. And she says, like, you're a sociopath early on. Mm-hmm. So I thought, like, oh, is that going to come into play later? Maybe, oh, nope, he's dead.
He's dead.
Like, it's that. Like, they did a good job at planting these seeds and then not letting them grow.
They do a lot of that. And I think there's a little bit of it in Ready or Not. Especially with like Adam Brody's character, and then obviously there's there is a genuine twist in that movie. But like, oh shit, I lost my train of thought.
I mean, planting the seeds.
They do the mystery thing, right? That there are a couple of threads that are just dead ends.
Yeah.
Like, so that's why there's so many parts in this movie where I was like, okay, A, B, C, or D could happen, and then E would happen. Not every time, but enough.
I'm never going to be scared watching a movie like this.
No,
so like,
I was not. Yeah, I was never scared.
To me, it's the fun. It's who's going to die next. How's it going
to
happen?
That's not to say there's no tension. There is a little bit of tension, like I was saying,
yeah,
with
when
the
she
biting.
Turns,
and
there's
yeah,
some
yeah.
tension, yeah.
But it's just, it's not scary. But I think most people who saw the trailer for this movie sort of understood that it
would
be.
Oh, yeah, the trailer's not like this will
scare you.
It's
not trying to be scary,
you.
No.
It's a comedy.
Yeah,
it's
this is a comedy.
Horror comedy. Horror comedies are usually just comedies, I would argue. They're just gory comedies.
Right, they're just violent comedies that have evil, dark shit in it.
Yeah. But the thing... So, trying to peg down what was going to happen, the thing that delighted me is... I guess we need to talk about Dan Stevens, because they establish him as, like, ex-cop that's a hard ass, and you know, like, you're not supposed to like him. He's an asshole.
Immediately, so, like, he's an asshole.
Yeah, and so what you imagine is, like, okay, he's either going to die first... And then he didn't. And so you get to this point where you're like, oh, okay. Okay. They're doing like a From Dusk Till Dawn thing where he's going to team up. He's going to be on the side. And briefly that happens.
They do kind of start to bond. They bond over having a kid. And he actually gives her like, he gives her like a genuine piece of advice. It's asshole advice, but it's genuine. Yeah. Where he's like, stop fucking feeling sorry for yourself. Own your shit and go home and be a good mom to your kid.
Yeah, so then you're imagining like, oh, okay. So they're going to be like, either he's going to die at the end helping, or they're going to like go their separate ways,
yeah.
like, again, from Dusk Till Dawn style,
yeah.
where it's like, you're still an asshole.
Yeah.
And like, or like, you know, the thing where that's what they're clearly setting up. And you know, you don't like Dan Stevens, you're not supposed to, but you're like, okay, I get it. And then they're like, nope. And
well,
that's what I thought was amazing.
They kept it going for so long. Because when they find Esposito, they find Gus Fring, and he's a vampire, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And he makes Dan Stevens a deal. He's like, because it turns out they're old buddies. Like, Esposito was an informant for him while he was undercover trying to bust this vampire crime family. Have we mentioned that?
Yeah.
It's a vampire crime family. Abigail's father is a vampire crime boss.
He sure is. Who played his father?
I couldn't recognize him.
He looked like, familiar.
They do it like a reveal, too, so I felt like I was supposed to know who he was. Oh, it's Matt Good. That's who it was. It's Matthew Good. It's Ozymandias from Watchmen.
Oh, Stoker.
It's Stoker. Yeah, exactly.
That is... All right. That's why I fucking recognize him. Okay.
Like, he had vampire teeth and a hat, and it was like... He was just lit in a way that I was like, I kept like being, I feel like I know who he is, but I can't quite place him.
Yeah.
The vampire teeth do a lot, actually.
They do. They surprisingly, and Paleface.
Paleface
does it too. But yeah, no, the point, so when Gus basically says like, join me to Dan Stevens.
Right.
And so you think like, he might be an asshole.
I thought he was going to do the 30 days a night thing that Josh Hartnett does, where he lets the vampires turn him into a vampire so that he can fuck shit up.
Right. I thought it was definitely going to be that point where the bad guy, the asshole goes like, I may be bad, but I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
But what they do is both more realistic and more fun, where Dan Stevens goes, fuck it. Sure. And makes the deal, and then, like you're saying, even you think like, okay, well,
even
he's
right
still going to do something.
Because he immediately stakes Esposito in the back and kills him. So even up to that point, I was still thinking he was on our side.
Yeah, and no, he is just an asshole.
As soon as he gets bit by the vampire, it like, oh, that was something else I wanted to call out too. But I did like that, which made me a little bit more confused about how we were supposed to feel about Abigail in the ending and kind of how Abigail just lets her go in the end. But like, I did like the idea that they seem to imply that when you get turned into a vampire, you become evil because they're evil creatures.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
As soon as he gets bit by the vampire, he's like, actually, you know what? I'm just going to be, he's just like into being a vampire.
Yeah. And what we get, folks, is Vampire Dan Stevens just chewing the scenery as much as possible, and it's a fucking delight.
It's like,
again, it's one of those things where it's like, I didn't even realize I needed this,
right.
And I need this so bad once I have it.
It's like Kiefer Sutherland and the Lost Boys,
yeah,
like amplified like 1,000%.
Yeah, and then he just starts whipping the main character around, being a real prick, and that's when I was like, yeah, he was a cop, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Like they never intended to redeem him.
Yeah.
it's a twist because
right.
you're expecting an arc and they give you no arc. They give you nothing. They're like, he was always an asshole.
Reminds me a little bit of the twist in not the twist in Barbarian, but like the arc in Barbarian.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, it's
kind of ridiculous. It's like, oh, maybe he could be written. Nope. He's a vampire.
And so now we get this thing where he starts draining Abigail.
Yeah.
And so basically the main character and Abigail have to team up to murder Dan Stevens because he's like the bigger evil. I guess. Yeah.
They found a swimming pool full of hundreds of bodies that Abigail has killed. So it's like, I guess Dan Stevens is the greater evil here.
The connection they do is that the main character, they call her Joey. She has a kid, right? And it's a little sweaty.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't mind. So I thought they did bare minimum character stuff. And I think that's all this needed, ultimately.
Yeah, I did say that I did groan when we got all the backgrounds, and then hers was just so obviously like, oh, just a good person falling on hard
times.
Yeah,
she's a junkie doctor who accidentally killed the mob boss.
Yeah, the patient she accidentally killed was just like a gangster that the Dracula mobster really liked. So it was like, oh, so you didn't even like kill an innocent person, like you messed up on a criminal, which is, I mean, it doesn't make it okay, but it's like, but it kind of does.
Well, it's because they're it makes trying the to
audience,
make it okay.
Yeah, the audience is more okay with that.
Yeah, they're doing, they're like, it's okay because it was a bad person.
Right, it wasn't a real person. It was a bad person.
Yeah. And so she's just, she doesn't want, she's like, was a scumbag to her son. And she wants to go home and see her son. And then they establish that Abigail is not getting her father's love. They basically, she establishes, when they think she's a human, she says, like, my dad isn't going to come and get me. He doesn't love me, et cetera, et cetera. And then as a vampire, they do try it again. They're like, well, her dad will. And she's like, no, I wasn't lying about that. My dad doesn't give a shit about me. And the thing they establish that Abigail is trying to get the love of her father by killing all his enemies. Mm-hmm.
She's gotten to the point, I think, with the body, all the bodies in the pool, and how, like, when she reveals what these all of these people's connections are to her dad, they're kind of like, it's clear she's gotten to the bottom of the barrel here. Like, they're like really tenuous connections to her dad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, is he really pissed at these people?
Yeah, exactly. Like, which is a fun idea, but so they link it at the end where it's basically like, you go talk to your son, just be there for him. Like, Abigail, being someone who wants the love of her parent, basically gives advice to the main. And after they team up, she basically says to her, and I didn't mind this part where she says, help me kill Dan Stevens and I'll let you live, is the deal.
Yeah.
But then it's like a little, like you said, she does at the beginning, she goes like, I pinky promise this thing will hurt or no one will hurt you to Abigail, thinking she's a little girl.
Right.
And then at the end, Abigail sticks out her pinky when Dan Stevens is trying to kill her. And then the father shows up, and I did like the father, like, being like, oh, we're going to eat this lady, and her being like,
oh,
she was here when you weren't.
He's immediately terrifying when he shows up.
And he basically, like, goes to her, and she's like, you need to leave now. Like, go. This is the only chance you get. I honestly think, though, because going to what you're saying about Abigail, about, like, are we supposed to be rooting for her? I kind of wish that she was a little more evil at the end. Like, I kind of wish she did what the father did. Like, if she went after she saved her, I wish, because she sees a mouse, you know what I mean? So I kind of wish
she's years old and this is food that she brought here. Like, she literally said, I like playing with my food. Like, so yeah, it would have been,
I think she could do something where she could get saved and then look at her and go like, I'll give you 15 seconds or something like that, where it's like, she's still like, at the end, she still has to get away from her. You know what I mean? Like, if she was just a little more brutal.
They could have given her what Matthew Good's line, basically, where he's like, you should leave because it's almost dinner time. Like, there's blood all over the place. So it's like, there's a lot here, but don't be here when I'm finished.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so I think she could have been a little more like,
a little more evil. It could have been a little bit more like the end of, I don't know. I feel like they bought it back at the end, which is why it bothers me, or why it stuck out to me, because she's just straight up evil for the entire movie. And then at the very end, she puts out that pinky and I'm like, are we supposed to care about her again? Like,
yeah, exactly. Where it's like, I get it. If it's just like, we have to kill Dan Stevens, that's okay. You know, let's team up, kill Dan Stevens, because he's going to try to kill both of us. And it's like, yeah, in that moment you go, yeah, I'll team up with the vampire, I guess.
Yeah,
it's either
vampire.
Me versus two vampires, or me and a vampire versus one vampire. Like, I have no other choice.
Yeah, I got to play the odds on this one.
But these directors, they clearly like that, right? We get the nod from the devil.
Nod from the devil at the end of Ready or Not. Yeah, they like brushing
earning
up.
The respect of,
it's brushing up against this enormous, unfathomable power and evil, this ancient evil, and just being like, oh yeah, what's up, hey,
yeah,
and then just keep on going.
Yeah, and I think the devil one works better, honestly, because I think we think of the devil as, it's funny saying this, but we think of the devil as being kind of aimless. Like, he doesn't hate you, he is, you know what I mean? So, like, that idea with the devil, we get away with the idea that the devil is sort of like, meh, rules are rules, you know? Like, you didn't do anything wrong. I have no interest in you. You know, like, the devil's more neutral, I guess.
It's Faustian bargains. You got to make a bargain.
Exactly. So like in that, in Ready or Not, it's a situation where the devil's just like, yeah, I got nothing with you. I have no connection to you, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Here it's harder because it's like an animal.
Right, because it's a vampire, and if there's no reason a vampire would not just eat you.
The comparison, the thing that like bothers me about Jurassic World, right, is like getting like the nod from a raptor. I'm like, shut the fuck up, you know?
But they're super intelligent, Dave.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. It's just like that raptor teaming up with a T-Rex. Come on. Give me a fucking break. They're animals, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard to like in this.
Ever seen three animals fighting?
Yeah.
It's not fucking fun. Crazy.
Yeah.
Nobody's on the same team.
No. It's real bad. It's real bad stuff.
It's like a whirlwind.
Yeah.
It's like when Andy Cat beats his wife.
It's a real bad scene, man. So like they're trying to have it both ways in this, where she's feral.
Yeah.
And then she's also reasonable, or like human even. And so like I don't know. There's a lot of hats on hats. The vampire mob
vampire
shit.
Vampire mob lord.
Yeah, they have to do like backstory with all that. And
there's
it's
a lot
nuts.
Of lore. There's a lot of lore for people wandering around in a house.
I know. These directors, they love mansions, huh?
Yeah.
They love just setting people in a mansion.
It's cheap.
It's like they got like access to a mansion, and they're like, yeah. Yeah, I bet it's surprisingly cheap, right?
Probably.
Like for a movie,
assume.
In terms of a movie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's probably a set for the most part, yeah. Yeah, I ultimately though, for all the little things, I'm not mad at it, only because I didn't, all I was looking for was a good time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's so just, like, oh, you go.
Oh, no. Finish it off.
Oh, that's it. I mean, I was looking for a good time. I didn't need to be challenged.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest fear is, and this is what they avoid, is that like, I'm trying to think of movies I didn't like that do this, because there are movies like Megan. I didn't really like Megan because I think Megan was trying to go viral. You know what I mean? And so was this, for the record. But like Megan had that, like the TikTok dances. Megan, the problem with Megan to me was it was trying to go viral, but it didn't have the teeth to do anything gory. It was still like a PG-13. Mm-hmm. It was trying to have it both ways. Whereas like I didn't really care for Malignant, but Malignant is R-rated, and it was going for weird, right?
It's pretty weird.
Yeah. This, I think they clearly had their trailer moments, like a fucking ballerina vampire.
Yep.
But for the most part, it didn't feel like, there's no like winking at the camera. There's no like, there's one scene. Basically, there's one scene where they all go like, what do we know about vampires?
Yeah.
That they don't exist. Like there's one scene where they all go, can you believe it? But then after that, they completely take it seriously.
Right. Yeah. Because they can't deny what they've seen.
Yeah. And the fact that they do it that way, and it didn't feel like they were trying to like create memes and like be like, look how cheeky we are, look how funny we are, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody still took it very seriously the whole time. They were all very scared. Like it's still funny, but like it's hard to tackle that tone, I guess. There's also the fact of like, how do you escape from this? Because that's another genre that, you know, I specifically don't care for when it's done bad. And there's some sweaty stuff in here, I'd say. I think like the Gus thing, that's literally just so she can get out, right?
Yeah.
Because Gus, why would Gus do that? Like Gus basically opens the bookcase and then goes like, yeah, I brought you here to make a deal with you.
Yeah, I'm tired of being a thrall.
Yeah, which I guess
for vampire crime boss.
It's fine, but then conveniently all their phones are there and the big red button that's like open everything button. But I think it generally works like that. Gus being, I don't know, I guess they could have established a little more that he was like being abused or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like I didn't, it's like backstabbing crime world. Like I guess they established them all being kind of scummy.
Yeah.
And they established that Dan Stevens and Gus know each other, But like, it's all, it's whenever I watch one of these, I'm watching for that stuff, right? Which is like, what sweaty way? Because, you know, things have to happen. That's the thing about these types of movies. And they handled it really easily of like, why are they stuck? No, yeah. There's the shutters.
Yeah, they're locked in. Yeah.
I think there was one shot that looked like it had a glass window. And I was like, break that window. But other than that, like, there was a couple, like, I think... When they're in the library, I kept thinking, like, stack some furniture. There's a window up.
Yeah, that big window, that big sky window. Yeah. Of course, it would probably be like a 50-foot drop to the ground.
Yeah. And at that point, it's like a specific formula, right? Where it's like, I care about that unless I'm having enough fun. Then I'm like, no, don't go out there. Then the movie will end. Like, you know, where it's like,
yeah,
if it's fun enough, it's easier to forgive little things like that. And I guess for me, but by the time they got to Dan Stevens, I was just smiling.
Yeah.
I was just beaming the whole time watching that.
That part was pretty fun.
Yeah. So like, this movie doesn't need to be perfect. It's not intending to be perfect, right? I'm sure there are more plot holes or inconsistencies, but that's not the point. They didn't make it for that reason. And I think it gave me exactly what I wanted and then stuff I didn't know I wanted. And so ultimately, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I still like
their films.
Yeah. It's a fun enough movie. I liked Ready or Not better.
I think I did too. I need to rewatch that one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. This one's a little uneven, in my opinion. But yeah, I still liked it overall.
I need to go back and watch... Southbound, which they did.
Oh yeah,
VHS. They did a VHS segment in the first VHS, I believe.
Yeah, didn't they do the they did the succubus one, right? Or no, the hitchhiker one?
No, I don't think it's the. Hold on, I gotta look it up
because the guy in the hitchhiker one is in. Oh no, wait, I think that's Ty West because that guy's in.
I thought Ty West did. Yeah. Let's see.
This is really important for the listeners to hear.
I'm so curious. It's 10/31/98 was what it's called. I don't know what that fuck. Well, that didn't help.
Yeah, I don't remember. I haven't seen the first VHS in a long time.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
Our bad.
Listen, I think this is a good watch with friends. You know,
yeah.
This is a good sit around. Ready or Not and Abigail, I think, are really good if you're sitting around having a party where it's like, it's just like, they know exactly what they want, right? They, mm-hmm. They're not trying to do elevated horror. They're mm-hmm. not trying to really scare us. They're just trying to give us a good time. Mm-hmm. And like, judging it by that, I will say like, yeah, this could have been shorter. I think, although how long was Ready or Not? Ready or
it
Not
might be around the same length, but it
no,
didn't
hour and a half. Ready or
it
Not
didn't feel
was
90 as long.
Minutes.
Like it's not the fact that it's 2 hours. It's the fact that a lot
no,
of it feels
it
bloated.
Was, Ready or Not was 90 minutes. So there you go.
Word.
So yeah, I think judging it on that, I still had a good time, but I can see it why it's a little too long.
Yeah. I thought it was, I thought it was fun. I said my piece. I've spoken, Dave.
I think, let me think for a second.
Anything else?
Yeah, I think that's it. It's a good time. Go see it. I think you don't need to see it in theaters. I mean, it's good to support it, but these people, they'll be fine. They're doing fine
yeah.
for themselves.
I think they're doing all right.
Yeah. So again, like this would be a good like Halloween double feature with Ready or Not, I think. So hey Tom.
Hey Dave.
You hear about our Patreon?
Ah man, I have, but remind me.
It's patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Patreon is a website where you can give people like a monthly subscription for them to keep doing what they're doing. Like for example, if you like what we're doing, you could give us $5 a month to support us. And guess what? You get things for that $5. You get exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and Spiel Boys.
It's all true.
For a little more, $10, you watch movies with us every Friday night. I am surprised we haven't watched Ready or Not on a Friday night.
We must have. Fitting.
I don't think we have.
Well, we should correct that soon. We also have a store. Yeah. Head over to GameFlanEmployee.com where you can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs you can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So slap your vampiric peepers onto that.
Absolutely.
You can see in the dark. It's a huge advantage.
Can you see in the dark? Oh, I would do it for that.
Yeah.
We'd be vampires, right? You would. Is that even worth questioning?
Yeah, that's not a question.
Whether or not I become a vampire.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll be the first poor vampire.
Yeah, we'll be the brokest vampires in history. Yeah. It'll be great.
Hey, listen, our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can find him on Twitter.com as The Corlew or go to shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our channel artwork is produced by Michael Vincent Bramley. For more of his work, go to mvbramley.art. Our episode artwork is by Justin Brown, available on Twitter as Justin T. Brown or at artnessbyjustinbrown.com. And finally, additional artwork is by Starlene Hodge. You can find her work at starlenearts.com or on Twitter as StarleneX. Cool. Goodbye.